With the dinosaur-shaped shadow on the horizon of Dippy the Dinosaur, I thought it would be useful to catch up with the council on the city's approach to art and museum, and how Dippy the Dinosaur fits in with the local vision of bringing world-class exhibitions to our city. So I have Councillor David Welsh, Cabinet Member for Housing and Communities, Coventry Council, who we're going to talk dinosaurs and museum and arts, I guess. David, what a pleasure to have you with me.
Hi, thanks for doing this with me. I think it's a great opportunity to talk about some of the things that are going on in the city. And as you say, Dippy is coming to Coventry and say, what is so important about that? But actually, it's a real opportunity. It's another example of where, you know, a local partner, we've got the Herbert Art Gallery, have seen an opportunity to bring a nationally significant exhibit, Dippy the Dinosaur, to Coventry. And it, I think, from my perspective, the museum doing that, would they have done that 3, 4, 5 years ago? Actually, I think it probably would have been a missed opportunity, but they've seen it, they took advantage of it. And what I love about it is that, you know, go back to my childhood, I got interested in dinosaurs. I think it was an exhibition called Walking with Dinosaurs, I think it was. And it sparked a real interest. I bought books, I bought dinosaurs. I used to talk about dinosaurs, I made dinosaurs. And I want to make sure that's brought to people in Coventry. When we say about, you know, why would we have more national things? Actually, it presents opportunities around our local collections. It gets the Herbert and other museums and places like that accessible to people who wouldn't have normally thought to go there. So that's what I see as the opportunity in it. It's another place where we've pushed the boundaries. We said, actually, yeah, you know, we're going to bring this to Coventry because we can.
The thing that interests me from the council point of view is, what stage do you typically get involved in when an exhibition like that's coming through? Is it at the beginning, middle, the end? Are you told that's what's happening, or are you part of the application search?
You know, I'm not going to take credit for this. What we've got in the city is some really, driven, ambitious people that have bought into that vision about, you know, we'll take advantage of those opportunities. The Herbert Art Gallery, Culture Coventry, saw an opportunity, and they didn't ask me. They went and did it, because, and that's what I want people to do. I want big players in the city to be able to see these opportunities and say, yes, you know what, we're going to go for it because it's right for the city. And that's what makes us so special, and I think it's really strong.
I spoke to Councillor Jim O'Ball around the benefits that the city sees with attractions, whether that's the ice rink. From your point of view, not just the tourism or the economy side of it, what is the benefit of the city having something like Dippy?
Like I say, I think for me, it's about, for me, it's always about people. I think, you know, people I represent, you know, do they have opportunities to go to London to see these things? No, they don't. But actually, we'll have a national exhibit in our own local gallery. It's free to attend. And the opportunity for that is amazing for kids. But I think there is benefits for creatives and the other exhibits that go on in the museum, but also businesses and things as well, because it's bringing people to our city and they will enjoy these attractions and other things we have to offer in the city at the same time. So that's what I see as the benefit.
Bringing world famous exhibits, I know, is something that you've talked about and the importance of. What are some of the examples? I know obviously we had the Turner Prize, but in kind of maybe your time as cabinet member, is there anything that jumps out or have been brought to the city while you've been cabinet member perhaps?
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking about some of the things that have gone on, and I think that's one of the things we kind of forget as a city. You know, some of the great things we've had this year. You mentioned the Turner Prize. Again, is it something that would have been in Coventry a few years previously? It probably would have been unthinkable, but actually another opportunity through some of the investment that we put in, it became a reality and we did it. But I'm thinking about, we had the BBC Big Weekend, and we've, you know, along with the Godiva Festival and the Queen's Baton Relay and Commonwealth Games, the children's game, international children's games coming to Coventry as well. We've had so many events in a short space of time. And you know what, again, it's that drive to really keep on delivering for the city. We can do it, and that's what we are going to go into the future. That's our legacy.
And we obviously know that City of Coventry played a part in that, but a lot of this stuff was happening despite that, as you say. Why is there a spotlight on Coventry in the way there is at the moment?
I think the City of Coventry did elevate us. It put us on a world stage, and that has got different organisations looking at us, you know, the British Council, the Arts Council, that, you know, I don't want to miss anyone out. There's so many people that say, actually, Coventry is the place to be. And I use the example of Cultural Gateway, the former IKEA building. You know, again, another opportunity that where retail had failed, IKEA left the city, but instead of it, you know, becoming student accommodation and all those other fears people have had, you know, we've got national partners that wanted to come and they still want to come and do that. And our just going to take this opportunity to update people that, you know, I will be taking it through council processes very soon. March, there'll be a report around refitting that building and bringing those partners to the city, starting that work. So, you know, we've got some amazing things going on, and that's what I mean. We just keep on seeing those opportunities as we take them.
The IKEA building was something that I was going to mention. With something like that, I imagine obviously it didn't happen overnight. Do you ever get frustrated when you're not able to talk about things because they're in the pipeline, and actually perhaps something like this is a good chance for you to talk about the progress, even if there isn't much at this moment, but there will be in the future?
No, definitely. We're obviously in negotiation, and we've been talking with the British Council and the Arts Council around moving their collections, and that has been a long process, and it has been difficult to talk about. But like I say, you've kind of got me at the right kind of moment, really. That will be moved to the next stage in March, and I'll be talking a lot more about what's going on. But just in terms of what we've been doing with the IKEA building, Cultural Gateway building, since then, you know, another opportunity that has come up was around production, and people have seen the media around that. Looking at Coventry again as a place where they can actually do production and use our city and our streets for filming, and the opportunities that flow from that as well, you know, getting young people involved. I think, again, it's another example of legacy where we said, actually, we can do this. And we are doing it, and they'll have opportunities in the future as well.
I walked past the council house a few weeks ago, and there was a film set, and I could see, and I was like looking, I said, who's over there, what were they filming? And I think that is something that I'm seeing. I know they did something at Players, the centre that's been opened in town. There's lots of filming happening in the city centre. What's driven that? Why is that suddenly become something that people are interested in filming in Coventry?
Well, I think we've sort of made the opportunity for that to happen as well. I think people are seen as a place, not a local authority, as a barrier to things happening, but actually an enabler. So making the former IKEA building available for use for production has created a whole load of opportunities. It's got people looking, and they're saying, actually, this is a city we can do business in. And again, that's part of our ongoing legacy as a city.
Whilst Dippy is recognised internationally, ultimately it is from outside of Coventry. As a city council, how do you juggle the internationally recognised with the local to make sure that we're not just outsourcing everything as such, and we are kind of growing people in the city?
Yeah, you know, I do get it, and it is. We've only got so much space for showing exhibits and everything, but I think having nationally significant exhibits next to local exhibits and our local collections, and actually alongside work that schools have done as well. There was an exhibition there recently around some of the work that children have done in the city, and that's right next to great artists. And I think that is a real powerful mix. So yes, it is a balancing act, but I think that nationally significant with locally significant and actually locally produced is really important. And I think that actually gives it a wider audience as well.
I do think that's something I think you and I have both seen in the past, that there were accusations that the City of Culture was so focused on outside of Coventry. How do we make sure that doesn't happen if it did going forward? How do we make sure that Coventry is the heart of the culture of the city?
Again, I've listened to other people on this, and I think nationally significant is important and internationally significant is important, but local is really important to me too. And one thing I have seen is local organisations being built up. If you look at like the Belgrade and Culture Coventry and the Daimler Powerhouse and the organisations that operate out of there, they're stepping up, and they're leaders in Coventry. I think City of Culture has actually strengthened the city's resilience, and I see them as the leaders along with the City Council and other partners to deliver into the future. And that's for me is what's important.
Even for someone like myself, I came out of Coventry being announced as City of Culture as Etchin Pin. I saw it announced. People have heard before of like the Belgrade, when people were waving their flags in the air when we were announced, and I was sat at home wondering why I wasn't part of it. And it was because I wasn't bringing anything to the table. So I said at that time, this was my time to stand up and to move forward and to be in control of my destiny. And I think that's something that I've tried to do. I've not tried to align myself too closely to those organisations. And I guess I'm interviewing myself at this moment, but I just kind of feel the thing of actually doing it. People have said to me before, why hasn't anyone released children books about Coventry? Why wasn't a pin badge about Coventry? And I often said, well, because I was the person that did it. And I think that can be hard and daunting for local creative. But at the same time, I'm a big ambassador of being in control of your destiny in that way. But I guess that is a juggling act for everybody, is that not only seeing what's out there from other people, but also doing stuff yourself.
I think it's about opportunity and taking advantage of that. And one of the things I have seen during the City of Culture year and subsequently is people stepping up and doing that. You know, you're one of them where you saw an opportunity and you've took it. And that's what I want to see going into the future. I think there are opportunities. And I pick other people out of that. You know, the Lytton Tree Rooms, another example of where, you know, something amazing has been done, created. Okay, let's find a way of making that work in the future. I think there are opportunities. We just need to keep on doing that. And what I don't want us to do, and we are in difficult times, and I can't escape that in any kind of interview with the City of Culture Trust. But what I don't want us to do is for us to be looking at the ground again. You know, people in Coventry, you know, we're looking up now, and people are proud of the city and the things we're achieving. And it's not just about buildings and capital investment. But what that has enabled is for people who haven't accessed culture or thought they've got anything to bring to the table, now actually people saying, actually, yeah, you know what, I can be part of that. And that's what I want to take into the future. That's what I want us to focus on. I want people to be looking up and to be proud of our city.
So before I let you go, so what advice do you have for those local creatives or people that are maybe wanting to make that step into the culture of the city and to get involved? Are there various ways that people can get involved with what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, I've always said to people that, you know, if they think there's opportunities and there's ways the council, for example, can support, then, you know what, we'll try. If it fits in with our cultural strategy, if it's something that fits in with the way we want to go as a city, then, you know what, let's see if there's a way of making it happen. You know, is there always going to be loads of money for things? No, there's not. But if there's ways that we can support each other, then yes, we should. And actually, other organisations are doing that too. So, you know, I use the example of the Belgrade again. You know, they're working with groups that I would say, would we have been doing that 10 years ago? Probably not. But they're working with groups that wouldn't have accessed culture. And that's just maybe a little spark in people's mind that makes them say, actually, yes, you know what, I have got something to bring to this. Culture Coventry and other people are doing it too. So keep having those conversations and keep challenging, but have it in a way that actually come and work with us. You know, let's have those conversations because I'm open to ideas.
Appreciate that, Councillor Walsh. It's a tricky time for a lot of the city. We're in transition. We've almost kind of come out of City of Culture and we don't quite know where we, or I perceive a city that doesn't quite know what they need to do now going forward. But there is a commitment to moving forward and onwards and upwards. And I guess this is an opportunity for people to try and put their ideas forward if they have. So I appreciate you taking some of those trickier questions off me. But as always, the more we can be transparent and we can have those open conversations, the better I feel.
No, that's exactly right. You know, it's our future, and I see as we were UK City of Culture 2021, but we are still a City of Culture now, and we are going to be a City of Culture in the future. That's where I want to take us, and you know, we're having these discussions, and we're having it because we've got that as legacy. We've got some real strong people who have ideas. Let's keep talking about it. Let's do something with it.
So this morning I find myself at the Herbert Art Gallery and Museum with one of their creators, Ellie Wells, who I wanted to speak to around the reasons behind Dippy being brought to the city, and perhaps some of the examples in the past, and let's have a look at how we get a massive dinosaur to our city. So Ellie, what a pleasure to have you with me.
Thank you, Aaron. It's wonderful to be on the pod.
So Dippy then, I'm sure people know it's a big dinosaur, but maybe give me a bit of an idea of what Dippy is and what it's going to be.
Well, I mean, I'm saying Dippy is the biggest thing to come to Coventry because literally, certainly in the Herbert, we've never had an object so big to come to the museum. We've had to put it in our atrium. We didn't know, you know, the logistics, whether Dippy would come through the door or not. But yeah, we're really, really excited the Natural History Museum chose Coventry to be home for Dippy for at least the next 3 years.
It does feel the most natural space for it. When you walk through it, you can see how huge the ceiling is and how wide that space is. I guess it was a natural fit, I guess.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, because it's sort of got not open to the sky, but we've got those big windows, it really starts to feel like we're putting not quite Dippy back in their natural environment because they were from the USA. But, you know, it really feels like we're going to showcase Dippy at their best. You'll be able to walk in as a visitor, greeted by, you know, Dippy's head looking down at you. And really, you know, the way we're setting it out, you're going to immerse yourself in the Jurassic and learn all about what life was like in the Jurassic for a Diplodocus or a Diplodocus or a Diplodocus, however you like to say it.
This is the interesting thing for me doing this podcast. I get to ask the questions I'm interested in as well. Are you going to walk through Dippy's legs? Are you going to walk down the side of Dippy's legs? How is it actually going to work?
Yes, so Dippy comes on a plinth. So sadly, you would not be able to walk underneath Dippy. Actually, probably, it depends how tall you are. Not everyone would fit underneath Dippy as well. Dippy will sit on a plinth in the middle of the cover court and be able to come in and walk around Dippy from nose to the tip of the tail. And then when you get to the tip of the tail, we've got some extra stuff. So I'm doing a display about what life was like in Warwickshire, in Coventry, in the time of the Jurassic. So we're kind of sort of doing the Dippy story, but also the local story about what was happening.
What's been the process of getting Dippy into Coventry?
Well, as probably people know, it was an application process. So I'm sure lots of venues were asking to get Dippy. There was Dippy on tour for 4 years, from 2017 to 2021. So, but actually I feel like, you know, we've won the war. We've got Dippy for 3 years instead of 3 months. And so we've just made that application process, explaining to the Natural History Museum what we could offer as a museum, as a venue. You know, we're in the middle of the country, you know, we've got a natural science collection, but we don't have any dinosaurs. So actually this is our chance to have a dinosaur at the museum.
And I think young people especially love dinosaurs. I did when I was young. My boys, they're really into dinosaurs. We went to the Birmingham Science Museum earlier in the week at Think Tank, and there's dinosaurs everywhere there. I think it's something that you almost forget about as you grow up, of how cool it is to see dinosaur remains and fossils.
And I think sometimes as working in a museum, you see we've got some fossils right next to us. And you kind of forget, actually, these are millions and millions of years old. And as humans, it's quite hard to comprehend how old that is. But do you know what? My husband still loves dinosaurs. You know, he's been over the moon that we're getting Dippy. So I think there is that joy and connection that everyone, every age can make, from like tiny dots to, you know, there's no age limit on dinosaurs, really. So I think that's part of the joy that we'll, you know, over the 3 years, we're going to bring lots of different elements of Dippy. It's not just come and see the dinosaur. We'll be doing events, workshops, you know, everything for all sorts of age groups. So hopefully people will keep coming back to see Dippy and keep looking at the Herbert.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't really thought about that before, how when you do have something that's static that is amazing, how you bring people back. And what is that, through workshops then and events and exhibitions around the monument itself, I guess?
Absolutely. We're sort of planning our exhibition programme, and we'll have more natural science. Hopefully we'll have some more dinosaur or marine reptiles, or, you know, there's lots of ways we can go. And we're definitely looking at like late night events for adults, so on different gaming themes. So I think there will be really something for everybody. Even if you don't think you like dinosaurs, I think you're going to like Dippy.
So this isn't an obvious question, but how big of a deal is it that Coventry was chosen? I know that, as you say, there were lots of neighbouring cities or cities that were interested in having him. Him or her? Actually, I don't think I know that. Was it they?
We don't know. That's the fascinating thing. Like, although Dippy is an almost complete skeleton, and we should say actually at this point that it's not a real skeleton, it's a plaster of Paris copy of a dinosaur that's in the USA. But even that skeleton's made up of, I think, 3 or 4 different dinosaurs. Because, as you know, we look at them and we see Jurassic Park, the film, and we think, oh, we know everything, but there's so much to find out. And we don't have enough sauropod or Diplodocus bones to be able to say, was this a male or female? We think it's a fully grown Diplodocus, but even that we're not absolutely certain on.
A peek behind the curtain is that I'm slightly later than I had planned to be for this meeting because of the fact my boy had assembly, and what they were doing was talking around their visit to the Sea Life Centre, and they presented what they learned at that time. How does education and visits to museum play? How does that play like a part for young people in the city to learn more about it? Is there something you can get more by visiting somewhere than you can in the classroom, perhaps?
Well, absolutely. I think for me, although obviously Dippy's been long extinct, but for me, actually seeing objects bring things to life. And that's why I became a curator. You know, we can hold something in our hands. I'm holding here a fossil that's, you know, 150 million years old. I can pass it to you.
Please,
you can hold it. And that's an oyster. So it's a type of oyster, and we still have oysters, not that exact species, but we still have them alive today. And I find that fascinating that, you know, we've also got some other bones, and they're extinct, and Diplodocus dinosaurs are extinct, but we've got their relatives alive today. You know, we've got the birds that fly around.
And I think that's the thing of physically seeing something to bring it to life in a way a photo can't. And I think for education, coming out of the classroom almost refocuses your mind as well, because you're so used to being in that classroom and suddenly you're there and you're seeing, we saw like a Spitfire, and I guess you think in a different kind of way. How will schools be involved with DP? I guess you're going to have opportunities for them to come visit, but is it something that you're going to offer to schools?
Yes, we're developing the school sessions at the moment. So our learning team will be developing things to be on from after Easter 23. And that'll be, we're looking at, I've set together a box of fossils. So actually part of the session, children will be able to handle the fossils, and that'll be part of what they do. And I think they'll be developing those over the 3 years. So that's just the start of it, really.
So we know that DP is big, not in terms of just scale, but in terms of the prestige that brings to the city. Have there been anything that's similar in terms of scale, in terms of actually having it, the prestige and having the city? Have there been other exhibitions or other artefacts that have come to the city that have been as big and well-known?
Well, I think for me, one of the biggest ones we've done in recent years, and there's been a couple more since, which I'll go on to, but the History of Children's Television, Rush, that was a national exhibition in 2015. And we had Muffin the Mule, we had Humpty Dumpty, we had Pob. I mean, it all different. We had the Twirlywoos. I mean, it was really absolutely amazing. And I think that for me as a curator, that was the point where I knew the Herbert could do big. And that's when City of Culture came along. That meant I knew we'd be able to deliver. So we hosted the Turner Prize, which a national, you know, it was only the second or third time it'd been outside of London, but also Two Tone.
Yeah.
And again, you know, that's such a local story. It's such, you know, it's got its roots firmly in Coventry, but it's an international. You look at third wave scar across the states, across the world. And I think really for us, it just shows that little old Coventry, we're not really little, we're a big city, but really we're playing on the international stage as well.
I saw firsthand, it's again, about lots of you will know that I write children's books and I release pin badges about Coventry, and my stuff is, I still find it amazing, is sold here in the Herbert shop. And I saw how many badges and books we sold during that time because of the amount of visitors that you were getting that were interested in Two Tone and finding more out about it. I think the Turner Prize was special. I watched it on TV, and again, it felt like actually Coventry was on that international stage in a way that I hadn't felt that we'd been before. How do we continue to build on the City of Culture to make sure that wasn't just because we had the year in the spotlight and that we will continue to have that kind of event going forward?
I mean, I think Dippy's the start of that. I mean, we're, you know, as a museum playing the part, but I'm sure the council will be looking to move things forward. You know, we can't go back now. That's it. We've kind of, it's onwards and upwards. And I think for me, Dippy's the start, but actually I don't know where it's going to go next. We've got Dippy for 3 years, so.
I guess that's the exciting thing. When in a previous podcast, I spoke to Councillor Jim O'Boyle around the benefits that things like the ice rink bring to the city. And we looked at actually, it's not just the ticket itself. And obviously this is a free ticketed event. What are the other benefits that the city will see by having something like Dippy in the city?
Well, it's bringing people to the city. I mean, we know from things like the Turner Prize and Two Tone exhibitions, it's not just the people of Coventry that come to visit. They come from much further afield. And I'm sure people will be travelling to see Dippy because it can be difficult to get to London. So hopefully regionally and further afield, we'll be bringing people in.
Brilliant. What a pleasure to speak to you today. I'm really looking forward to it, I have to say. I think the as soon as it was announced, and I think the day it was announced, I walked through the Herbert. I had a meeting in the Herbert. And I just thought, oh, I can imagine it here. And it was almost like, and I can imagine when the applications would come in and I'm sure you sent photos or they came to visit and they saw that space. It feels like a perfect space for a huge dinosaur. So I myself can't wait to see it. Good luck with the preparation. I know that everyone's busy here at the moment and it's not long until Dippy will be with us.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think, as you say, it's free to come and see Dippy. We do encourage people to book online if they can, because obviously quite a lot of the half-term stops are already gone. But yeah, if you can't, there are a few walk-up tickets as well.
And it's here for a long time as well.
Absolutely. There's no rush. I mean, and there'll be lots of different events, so keep an eye out on our social media and our website, and then you'll find the event for you to come along and see Dippy.
So, what a pleasure today to be at the Herbert Art Museum. Well, the day where Dippy has been erected. I've just seen the head go on, which was quite a momentous moment and lots of whooping and cheering. And I've got the perfect person from the National History Museum to join me today. I've got Lorraine Cornish, who I'm told is their resident Dippy expert, but also the head of conservation. So an absolute pleasure to have you with me. Lorraine, thank you.
Pleasure's all mine.
So let's have a look at Dippy then. What was Dippy's journey to come to Coventry? I know it's been touring, but kind of how has it ended up in Coventry in general and its journey to date?
Yeah, so it toured from 2018, went to 8 venues around the UK, and then came back to London for a little while. And we decided we really wanted Dippy to stay on display somewhere. So we did a call out across the UK for any institution that would like to take Dippy for a minimum of 3 years and to display in their institution. And the Herbert was one of those applicants. They did an amazing application about what Dippy would mean to them and how they would use Dippy in lots of educational material, working with the community, and just really bringing a bit of dinosaur glitz and glamour to Coventry.
So it's not just all about the space then, because obviously we have the most perfect space and I've just seen it and it's amazing and it feels like that space was built for it. How much of it is about the space and how much of it is about the local offer?
The space is important because at nearly 26 metres long and 4 metres high, you can't just put this dinosaur anywhere. So we wanted to make sure that the venue would have enough space to be able to take it for 3 years, which is quite a long time. And the space is perfect. You know, when the Herbert said images of where they thought the Dippy would go, we just thought that it would be an amazing space for it because it completely fills the space that just looks amazing. And you've got a staircase going up the side so visitors can actually see, you know, above Dippy as well as from walking alongside it. But it was also really important for us to understand what the Herbert would do in terms of how would they engage the community, any educational programs, you know, how accessible would Dippy be to the public who wanted to come and see it? What stories could be told? And they had a really exciting set of plans and they were going to look more about the natural history of the region and local fossils. So they were really going to bring that side of things about Coventry and the wider environment to the display generally. So not only do you get this iconic dinosaur, you also learn a bit more about the natural history of the area. They've even done a dinosaur themed menu in the cafe. So I think they've gone dino mad, which I'm very happy with. And it's been amazing putting Dippy together here and seeing how excited the staff are. Every day they come in, they see a bit more progress being made and they can't wait till it opens on Monday.
And so the city feels the same way. There's a real buzz in the city at the moment around Dippy. What I've loved this last week is seeing the photos of the journey of Dippy and in the boxes, etc. What makes Dippy special? What is it about Dippy that is such a momentous thing to have in the city?
Well, you know, Dippy was one of the very first large dinosaur skeletons that was put up anywhere in the whole world. So back in 1905, when Dippy was put together in London, it caused an amazing storm of activity. It was in the local press, and people thought this just couldn't believe the size of this dinosaur. And it really, really sparked imagination. And I think down the generations, you know, people have had a great relationship with dinosaurs. But to actually, you know, to come and see the size of these things and to walk around them. And certainly in London, you know, as a child, I went to see Dippy. I've took my own children and now I've got 2 granddaughters. I've even taken them. So Dippy has a place in my heart. And I think a lot of the public are extremely fond of our wonderful dinosaur.
I was at the Think Tank Museum in Birmingham last week and they had like the head of a triceratops, which was really nice to see, but it doesn't beat seeing what I've just seen in the foyer there, like the fully sized. And I think what's really, I don't know, hard to put into words is you don't really know how big a dinosaur is. And I think seeing it fall, actually, it's big, but it's not quite as big as I thought it would be, but it feels relatable. I think that it doesn't feel as fantastical as how it feels. It feels more real. I can imagine it walking around in a way that I probably couldn't have imagined before. You and I spoke as we were kind of walking up and you said, this is the 10th time that Dippy's travelled. Where else has it been?
So it started its tour out of London, and the first venue it went to was down into Dorset, and then other areas around the UK followed. So I think we had Birmingham, Newcastle, Ulster, Glasgow, Rochdale, Norwich Cathedral. And then Dippy had a residency back in London for a few months. We had over 1 million visitors come back to see Dippy. And now it's opening at the Herbert on Monday. So it's been really interesting to put Dippy together in all of these different spaces. When we started in Dorset, there were literally only a few centimetres either end. We weren't really sure whether we were going to fit it in, to be honest. Lots of tape measuring took place. And they even had an iron balustrade that they had to take part of it out so that Dippy would fill the space properly. In Norwich Cathedral, we had to stop every few parts of the day because of services that were going on. In the Kelvin Grove in Glasgow, there was a lunchtime organ recital, so we would stop for 45 minutes at lunchtime. So every venue's been really interesting in terms of putty dipping in space, but everyone's loved it, and it's done really well. We did an evaluation for all the regions, and financially, economically, they showed an upturn of visitors, people even coming to the shops in the local town. So it's, you know, Dippy's been really great for these different regions, and we really hope that Coventry will benefit from Dippy being here as well.
Well, it was the perfect, after Coventry being a city of culture, having this following was such a huge thing, I felt. So some of the listeners will know, and just to inform you, I sell children's books about Coventry. I write and sell children's books about Coventry. I sell pin badges all about Coventry. And I think my last few years has really been centred on the city. How, as someone from outside the city, how is your view on Coventry now? Has that changed recently? Obviously, city of culture has been huge, but do you feel there's a change in the attitudes towards Coventry?
It was really interesting coming here a few months ago to evaluate the site, because I hadn't been to Coventry for many years. I didn't really have a very strong view about Coventry either way, but I knew it had been bombed in the war. And it was really amazing coming here and seeing still the most beautiful architecture, and where the Herbert is right next to the cathedral, very near the Transport Museum. You know, it feels like it's in a cultural quarter. It's a lovely area for it to be in, and it fits perfectly in the space. And Coventry itself, I've spent a week here now. Everyone's been really friendly. I've been out and about, gone to the old pub, restaurant, and I've felt it's a really vibrant place, actually. And a lot of people, you know, very busy, happening. And I think, yeah, it's a great legacy that the City of Culture brought to Coventry. And I think this Dippy will just add to that.
Oh, it makes me smile. I think the thing with the city, Coventrians can often take the city for granted. And when you hear someone from outside talking about the things that we see every day, it's really like, it makes me emotional almost to think about, because the city has gone through so much over the past few years, or the 100 years, and to rebuild itself after the war, and to not only be known as a city that was bombed, and actually be known what it is now. And that's what actually my children's books are all about. It was when I was at school, we only learnt about the Blitz. And actually that feels like a negative take on Coventry. Was what I like is two-tone, or the regeneration after,
yes,
or our amazing sports stars and Olympians and musicians and film actors that are from the city.
Yes.
And to hear someone from outside the city talk about the city in that way just made me feel really pleased. So the head's on.
Yeah.
What happens now? Do you go and then you come back in 3 years when it goes? Or is it a part of the evolution of how Dippy grows in the city?
So we have one more very important bone to put on on Monday morning when Dippy opens to the public, and that's the final toe bone. And what we like to do is to get possibly a future scientist, I don't know. So a child will come and help us to put that final toe bone on, and then that's the end for us. So that will be very exciting. And to see, I'm staying till Monday because I really want to see the visitors coming in for the first time. I want to see what people think when they see Dippy. And how they enjoy just being there and looking at it. And I suspect quite a lot of people will be walking up and down, some children maybe.
Yes.
Going up and down and around that very, very, very long tail that never seems to end.
And curls round. It surprised me how thin it was at the end. Does it feel like when I leave my children with my mum when we're going out for, does it feel like you're leaving your child with somebody else?
It's always tricky when you finish and you're handing over Dippy to someone else's care. But the team here are amazing. We've been a couple of times in Chesterton, and they are, you know, they look after lots of amazing artifacts in the museum anyway. And so we know Dippy's in great hands, and we're really excited to hear about the journey that Dippy and Coventry are going to have together and the amazing programme that's going to be put on for that. So I can't wait, but I'll always keep an eye out for Dippy for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll take great care of Dippy. Thank you, from a personal point of view, for meeting me today. I know how busy you are. The place is buzzing. There's so many people around. And when I found out that the National History Museum were here, I was like, can I just get a minute? So I really appreciate you taking your time, particularly as the head has literally just gone on. I feel quite fortunate to have spoken to you. So thank you, and thank you for trusting us with your Dippy.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.